Blog Talk Radio. That's right. Welcome in Shemotep. Here at the KKNT Radio Network with the Dr. Rock, Professor K. And it's Tuesday, 8 p.m. Central, here in Houston, Texas, where we do introspect. Come and take the journey. Guaranteed to have a thought-provoking, provocative show for you guys tonight. Not many are going to stand up to the task and take on such a subject or an issue as the word nigger. And we're back because we're doing a series on it. Professor K, you in?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Thanks a lot, sir. Yeah, you're only going to hear these type of shows on the KKMP Radio Network. We appreciate what BPR is doing. In fact, we're not going to take all the kudos. There are a lot of people on BPR doing very exciting things. And we're going to utilize this media as it's supposed to be used to assimilate and disseminate information. And that's why we're doing a series for the next 3 weeks on the word nigger. We're going to deal with the situation. As we know in the United States, race, religion, and
politics.
Relationships are the three top subjects. And, of course, nobody wants to talk about the first two. But we're going to talk about that word nigger tonight, and we're going to talk about racism, systematic racism. We're going to talk about the process and what it does. But what the doctor is going to do for you tonight, I'm going to go ahead and tip your hand. The doctor is going to turn this negative into a dynamic positive. And that's what we have to do with the word. That's what we have to do with life. That's what we're going to have to do with our circumstances as Africans in America. Make the best out of the worst situation. We've got to make some lemonade. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to make some lemonade, right, Professor K?
Yes, that's what
we're making lemonade. Was that guy? So let me go ahead and break it down to you. Of course, I know most people understand and have their own, not their own, it's the herd mentality definition of the word nigger. And it is negative, spouted from, the mouth of some redneck who's meaning it to, who's using the word to demean you. We understand that. However, we're going to open up. And we hope that you're going to open up your mind tonight and allow us to offer you some options, some alternatives, some very viable definitions that could also apply or be applicable. And we like to tell our callers, we got a lot of callers already, but we like to tell everybody that what we do here is not just for the 7 or 8 callers that call in, but for the hundreds of people that log into BTR tomorrow and listen to these shows. And when they see this topic, this title, more than likely they're going to want to take a listen. And that's where we're going to be feeding the truth to the masses. That's where we're going to be taking this, real truth talk. We're going to talk truth to power tonight, guys. So I want you to sit back. We're not going to tell you to get a bottle of vino, but that's why we're playing the very soothing music. We want to keep everything on the composed side, and we're going to talk about, like I said, a very relevant topic. We need to get beyond some of this thing. Things, according to Dr. Francis Kress Welsing out of D.C., the ISIS papers, Africans in America are very sick from 400 years of programming and psychoanalysts and demeaning behavior, demeaning treatment. Slavery was not a nice picture. It was very awesome. What it did to the African American, not only beat him down, but it disconnected him from what he thought or what little he knew about the motherland and his own culture. Again, that culture thing is, what you do, how you comb your hair, what food you eat, the way you dress, the way you drop it like it is hot. And again, you're at the KKNT Radio Network with Dr. Rock. Professor K.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the first positive.
Mm-hmm.
Number one positive, guys, the word nigger. Next time someone calls you the word nigger, Professor K, you want to go ahead and process this one? How about you be that guy with the neck that's kind of red in the back, and you approach me with that word?
All right. Hey, you nigger, get off my property or get out of my country.
Oh, your country, yes, sir, except for the fact that we built this country. Yes, sir, I am a nigger. And indeed, I am a royal nigger from the Kenyatta clan from whence the very beginning began, a benevolent man with a humble heart. And again, the only reason you're still standing up is because I ain't put these soup bones on you yet, partner. And that's where we need to go with this. In other words, I just connected that word to the motherland. A loyal nigga from the Kenyatta clan, from which the very beginning began. Jomo Kenyatta, the Mau Maus, ran the British out of Kenya. Come on, guys, do your homework. Open your ears. Let him with ears hear. And like Jesus said, if you don't want to hear now, we're going to leave him where he is. But I know a lot of people are going to be offended just by the word, but we want you to be bigger than that tonight. We want you to understand the positives. A royal nigga. Now, let's do the number two, Professor K.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and put it out there. The continent of Africa has about, what, 52 countries on it?
About 52 countries.
Yeah. And we're going to say that I think somewhere right above the country of Nigeria is a country called Niger.
Right.
Correct? Also, there's a river called the Niger River. Correct?
Right. Right.
Now, if one does that introspective thing and go on that sojourn and take the journey to find out and connect themselves with the motherland, they will find out that back in the day, there were a tribe of Africans called the Dongolawe. Now, I may not be correct in that pronunciation, but they were merchants that traveled the Niger River. And they traveled and they traded in bronze and gold statues. And their statues and the substrate that they used were, of course, gold and bronze, but their technique was so precise and so creative that their artwork was very much desired by many. And they were called royal niggas. They were called nigger merchants because their product was as good as Mr. James DeCoy, the real McCoy, the lubricating system for the steam engine. They made a good product, and they were respected for such. And again, they were called what? Nigger merchants. Now, I'm going to connect that to the word Niger, again, which we've already referenced, that Niger can be either the country or the river. Now, old Dr. Rock and Professor K are in this big old southern city called Houston. And I guess we would be referenced as, Houstonians?
Yeah,
Houstonians from Houston, correct. How about that nigger traveling, that royal nigger, that merchant nigger traveling down the Niger River from the country of Niger being called a nigger from Niger? Bingo. Things going off in your head. I can hear it right now. I got one more for you, but I'm going to stay on this one for a while. You know, what the doctor is trying to get at is that, can I define you? I mean, if I call you the B word, excuse my French, I'm just going to go ahead and say we're grown folks here. If I call you a bitch, you probably won't acknowledge it unless the term applies. We got to be bigger. We got bigger fish to fry than dealing with words and syntax.
Right.
We got kids that are not getting educated. We got black people that are statistically leading the way in AIDS, homelessness, unemployment, lack of education. We got bigger fish to fry, guys, than just dealing with this word. So how about we flip the script, turn it into the positive, and we move forward. Number three, take that word, and Dr. Rock is going to now create an acronym for the word nigger. That is N-I-G-G-E-R. Stay with me, guys. I'm going to be quick about this so that we can take some of our callers. We got a bunch of callers calling in already. We want to talk about this with these guys. N-I-G-G-E-R, as your boy Nas would say, National Institute of the God-Given Ebony Race. Can I get a cheer on that one? Professor K, you got to put your hand on the button, Professor K. He must be doing homework. He's trying to educate the children. You see what I'm saying? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You're a kind man. You're a kind man. You're a benevolent man. Who ain't put them soup bones on the doctor in a while. But again, the word nigger, N-I-G-G-E-R, the National Institute of the God-Given Ebony Race. We're flipping the script tonight, guys. So, you know, if you didn't call your friends, they'll probably have to catch the show in the archives tomorrow. I guarantee we're going to have over 200 hits on this show tomorrow because we're going to make this thing a positive thing. We're going to do this thing the right way, or we're not going to do it at all. That's what the KKMT radio is all about. In fact, do your homework on the KKMT. Do your homework, guys. My people perish, I think it was Hosea 4:6. My people perish for a lack of knowledge in the Bible. The next Hosea 4:7 states, because you reject knowledge, I reject thee, and you will not be priest in my house. You know, God wants you to know the truth, but you're not going to get it from your slave master. You have to go on that journey. You have to take that intestinal fortitude, that something inside of you that connects you. I think the last couple of shows, Professor K has been connecting that word to ethos, which is a Greek word. Like the pontificating preachers always say, well, I can derive the Bible back to the Greek. Well, how about deriving it back to the Hebrew? How about deriving that same linguistic back to a Kemetic language or a dialect like the Cushite? Yeah. How about even where the Ark of the Covenant is, how about even from an Ethiopian dialect? Because even the Egyptians spoke highly about the Ethiopians and quoted, again, according to Herodotus, that when you dine with the Ethiopians, it was like dining with the gods. They domesticated the animals. They educated the people. And we're talking about tens of thousands of years ago. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Professor K. What you got for me?
Okay. I just have a little teaser. You know, a great irony in this is that the United States culture, the American culture, a lot of the intelligence of this culture, a lot of the culture and philosophy of this culture are derived from that Western European or that Greek philosophy. But and within this culture, we're described as being ugly or not good enough or nappy headed or, you know, all these other kind of things. But, you know, the irony in that is the so-called father of history, Herodotus, and you can read about this in the histories, the descriptions of Ethiopians in Africa. He described them as culturally advanced, militarily superior, strong stature, tall, and a handsome race.
Regal.
All these things. A strong stature, tall, and described as a handsome race.
Yes.
That's why as most people acknowledge, the father of history. I hope the irony is not lost on our listeners and our callers.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, hey, guys, you got the opportunity to download these shows so that you can listen to them with your friends and discuss them and kind of discern for yourself. Because, see, this is that tidbit of information that will hopefully titillate you to go on that journey. We got a couple of callers, but I want to bring in my bestest of friend in the whole world. 410-713-832, please don't go anywhere. I want to bring in 806 because, guys, also, when you go to the site, the show profile, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/KKMT radio, hit that name, Dr. Rock. You have to go to the show page. You got to hit that Dr. Rock name. It'll take you where we have a list of shows. Go to the very bottom of the page, and there's a button that says Show Extras. Hit that button, and you're going to be enlightened. And we have a couple of videos down there. One dealing with the nigger word, Richard Pryor doing some comedy. But, again, he used comedy to be very emphatic. But there's also a video down there called A War for Your Soul. By Mr. Reggie Bullock, and he's been touring the country. It's only about an 18, 20-minute piece, but I guarantee you, I want you to listen to it. The message is very profound, and my bestest of friend, again, she kind of sent it to me today. She's tripping over the broom. She's going to be tripping over the broom soon, but she's still Dr. Rock's bestest of friends, and that's what it's all about. And let's see if we can get her on the phone because she may be listening, but I know she'll probably be like cooking a sandwich, putting on her booty shorts for her man, and talking on the other line and doing a plethora of things. So I'm going to talk a little bit more until I hear a voice come in. And as soon as we can get Ms. Faye on the phone, I want to basically ask her where she came about this video. You there, Ms. Faye?
I'm here.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. You sent me this video earlier this morning, and I want to thank you for that. Again, that's what friends do. Friends enlighten each other. They pass on information, because that's what we're doing tonight, guys. We're passing on information. But you sent me this this video by Mr. Reggie Bullock called A War for Your Soul. For your soul. There's a war going on for your soul, guys. And I listened to it. I watched it. I passed it on to as many people as I could. Where did you get that information, and why did you feel it important to Africans in America?
Well, I got the message a friend sent it to me. And when I sat down and watched it, I just thought, wow, you know, because I look at how we were really treated. And even one part was so bad where you're going to beat them till you say you take a slavery name. You know, so it's and then
Toby.
And then,
Toby. Yeah.
And then you know, even when they come in with the nigger word, it's true. You know, we call each other that all the time. And it's really a word that we really need to take out of our vocabulary because it degrades us, and that's not who we
are.
Wait up.
Hold on a second. The doctor just made it positive.
I know you made it positive.
How about we do what Bill Clinton's older brother, George Clinton, said? How about we just free our minds so our ass can follow? We don't have to be what someone else defined us. That's what this is all about. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that as well, but I'm saying when we call each other that, that's not a good thing because, you know, we turn around, we call each other that, and then when the other race calls us that, then we want to get mad is what I'm saying. So
let me interject right quick, Ms. Faye. We didn't bring 32 million Africans to the continent of America and enslave them, take away their name and their culture. We didn't do that to ourselves. I know they say, well, we captured a lot of Africans and we enslaved you know, we were a part of the slave trade and the whole nine yards. Believe me, again, go on the journey and look up Pope Eugenia. Look up the Portuguese, and I think it was 1454, when they were basically declared the sovereign nation, and they were going to go down to Africa and educate and civilize the pagans, the Catholic Church. That's why, well, it was about 10 or 20 years ago, the Catholic Church came out and made a huge apology to Africans in America. Because they created the slave trade out of the Catholicist religion. They started it and spawned this thing into what it became today. And, of course, the American settlers turned it into what we call zero cost, whole bunch of profit. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah. But my feel is that the word nigger, I don't think any of us like to be called that word. You know, and
I have a problem with it, Ms. Faye. I have got my nigger. What's up, my nigger?
Yeah,
you use it as a term of endearment. And again, I could be a nigger from Niger. All we got to do is change our mind on this thing, and it's not going to affect us and keep us, you know, in this herd mentality where we're stuck.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that we use it. Yeah, we use it as, you know, I hear us using it all the time. But the deal is that we use it on each other. But when the other race comes up and calls us that, they get offended. I see them get offended all the time.
Right, we don't always use it with the same venom that is being used by. Yeah, right. Now, sometimes we do. You know, it's just like most words. You know, there's most words can have what's the term for that, Professor Kerr? A word that has dual purpose or multiple uses.
Just different connotations?
Different connotations. There are different words in the English language that have one word can have more than one definition.
Right.
Dr. Rock is again prescribing that we just simply make the thing positive, move forward, understand the source that it's coming from, and not allow it to change your mood or lose your job or act a fool over.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
I really don't want us to continue to be manipulated because there's so many of us that are actually losing our jobs, catching a case behind that word. Dr. Washington don't say, you can call me nigga till you blue in the face, because it doesn't affect me at all, because I know who I am. And again, we're back to the comedic philosophy. First of all, we got to start knowing ourselves and who we are. And that's the problem. That's why it affects us, because we don't know that we are royal niggas. We don't know. You know, you don't lock your hair up for no reason. You're supposed to know the purpose behind that. People that usually wear dreadlocks are raised in a culture of consciousness. Black is not a color. We did that show already. Black is a conscious state of mind. I know who I am. I know that everything and all things on this planet evolved from the blackness, from the core of the planet, from the dark night, in which there was what? The harmonious peace, before the light became an eruption. And the great things that we've done, it is a sad and sickening day for us to come over here, even after 400 years, and not remember. Why can't we be like the Jewish people? Never forget where you come from, and if you forgot, if it's been torn away from you, go on the journey. Take that sojourn back to the motherland and learn about the Fulani, the most beautiful women in the world, the Dogon, artistic, abstract people, the Kwazi Zulu, the Kakua tribe with the Mau Mau, the Jomo Kenyatta with the Kakua. Our president's father is from the Kakua tribe. We need to know who we are so that we don't have to lean against the wall unless we're holding that wall up. No one can take away from us what we know about ourselves. They don't have to give us jobs. We can become jobs. But the first knowledge has to be the knowledge of self. And again, we're going to give props to that poetic white man by the name of Billy Shakespeare, who said it most poetically, first and foremost, to thyself be true. If you know who you are, then everything is beautiful. I deal with the world, you know, I can carry the world's burdens on my shoulders a little bit lighter, and I don't have to bring that home. I can love my children and my woman without malice in my heart or pain. You can't continue to carry this pain. It's making us sick. It's tearing us apart. And we're reflecting that pain on each other because we fear this system of government, because it has definitely persecuted us and crucified us in many ways. So I want you guys, I don't know if everybody heard it, but you know, we took that word nigger and we flipped three times already. A nigger from Niger, a royal nigger from the Kenyatta clan from which the very beginning began, and we also created the acronym for the word nigger, National Institute of the God-Given Ebony Race. So, yes, I'll be your nigger, sir. Not a problem. I'm not intimidated by the word. Go ahead.
And that's part of the point. I mean, what you said earlier about the venom of the word is the same thing with the word boy. I mean, if someone comes up to me and, well, it's not exactly the same, but it's kind of akin to the word boy. If someone comes up to you and calls you, you know, boy, it depends on how they're saying it. It depends on the venom that's involved with the usage of the word. For example, if you come up to me and say, oh, you know, that's my boy, Professor K, that's my boy, KT, it's not going to be a problem with me at all. I know how you're using it. But if someone else, some other comes up to me and say, you know, you do this, pause, boy. You know it.
Exactly.
You know what it means. I mean, you know what it means, but you know what part of the problem is? And I think Karenga said this, someone who helped institute Kwanzaa, I believe. We're trapped in what's called a 500-year rule.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's a 500-year room.
And what the
500-year room is that it's basically telling us that we don't have any history beyond 500 years ago.
We do. We just don't know it.
That's exactly our point. We're trapped in that 500-year old. That's why we can't let go, because our ethos,
right,
as we talked about before, is wrapped up in there. That's why we have to go beyond that 500-year room and talk about the Dogon, you know, the Dogon society, the society that are responsible for what we now know as cataract surgery, the true father of medicine, even the so-called father of medicine. Hippocrates said in his words, "I'm a child of Hotep."
Exactly.
Who traveled to that land to find out about disorders such as what we now know as somatoform disorders. So those are things we have to find out to escape that 500-year room. If we can't escape that 500-year room, that word is always going to brand you. That word is always going to define you.
We got to shake it. Professor Cage has made reference to the greatest man in history, stand alone by himself next to Yahshua Ben Yosef. And in fact, before Yahshua Ben Yosef, Mr. Imhotep. His name literally means "I am peace." He is and was called and considered the first Messiah.
He was wiser
to Pharaoh Zoser, who concreted and came up with the creation of the first pyramid, which was called the Step Pyramid. He was a diplomat. He was a statesman. He was the father of medicine, and once able to, the Pharaoh's brother went to war once and was killed. And it was said that Imhotep did pray and meditate on his body for 3 days and levitated and created an aura around him until he was resurrected. You kind of getting it, guys? Yeah. Imhotep. A lot of African conscious individuals will greet you with that word, Hotep. It simply means peace. The doctor will sometimes exit a show with Shimhotep. It means "I come in peace." A God like people only has, I mean, the only thing I have in my heart is peaceful benevolence. I don't have any malice in my heart, unless you want to see it. But if you call me that word, a nigger, I really don't even have to respond because it's not applicable.
That's the way it is.
Exactly. Unless then if they continue to, you know, direct that conversation toward me, at that point I have to acknowledge them and say, yes, I am a nigger. I am a royal nigger from the Kenyatta clan from which the very beginning began. I'm a benevolent man with a good heart. Now you need to get out of my intimate space again before I close these soup bones up and put them on you. That's the man thing. But, I mean, I didn't mean to step all over you, 806. Go ahead and finish up because I'm going to bring in 410 and 954. I got 713 and 832 holding on also. How do you think that this piece is going to affect Africans in America, 806-777? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
That's okay. I'm fine. It's really an educational piece for everybody to see, and I was spreading it because I want everybody else to spread it and as many people to see it as possible. It's going to affect people in different ways. Some's going to get real mad, and some's going to see it and understand it, and you know, so it's going to, people's going to have different emotions when they see it. But it's still an educational piece.
Well, just like you sent this show out to different people, tomorrow I want you to send a link for this show out to different people so that they can have a different perspective on that word. I want to bring 410, 493 in because, you know, they got a different perspective up north. You know, I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I'm not saying that people up north are more intelligent than people down the south. Even though sometimes they come down here thinking they are. Those New Yorkers always come down here, you know, thinking they're running stuff. We got a New York on the line, too. But what I'm saying is that they had the ability to learn their history without a fear of restraint and reprisal much earlier than we did down south and pretty much they went after it. And I think 410-493 is in the city of Morgan State down there. So, and Morgan State is black enough for me. Let's get some another perspective on this. We come to 410-493, and then we're going to be coming back to 954-744. 410, I'm a royal nigga. Is it making sense to you?
Good evening, everyone. Ultimately, like anything else, a word is just a word until you apply it to something that touches your soul, and then you respond. So
yeah.
Having that word be associated with a person, an action, a thought, or a feeling is up to the person who gives audience to receiving it.
Right.
That only means that if I'm called something outside of what I know that I am in my spirit, in my soul, in my being, because I have the confidence of knowing who I am, then I'm giving way to somebody else defining me. And
exactly.
In that regard, it's like, who has the right to make judgment about
yeah.
me other than he who has created me? And that is God himself. So the word itself is not the connotation of it in the sense of history and the way that we've been taught, even in the way that the clip that you sent out today reflects it, allows us to understand that the connotation behind it, its meaning, its definition, and the way that it's been used still lives very strong here in America.
Right.
It's not gone anywhere. It's just that there's been a decision that we shouldn't openly say it. You can't remove it from the dictionary when it's still on people's lips.
Exactly.
It's a part of what was a lifestyle, an existence, a beginning and an end. So it's not something that will go away. Also realizing from another perspective that it the word itself can have dynamic beyond color, because everybody that's called, you know, a nigger is not necessarily as dark skinned as me or, you know, somebody else.
Right.
Because it also
yeah.
can be an action. I mean,
the word niggardly exactly is defined as someone that is miser or stingy, and that can apply to anybody. But let me ask you this. If you heard the first part of the show, can we change the hearts of man? No.
No.
Can we change the minds? Maybe. How about doesn't it sound plausible that those three explanations and or translations and or definitions could be used applicably to define the word nigger?
Yeah, that's true. But then again, it has to
yeah.
be about our ability to embrace something that is
yeah.
new, different, and pretty much outside of what the norm is for what the way that we've been taught.
Yeah, and positive. We just made the word positive. We just made some lemonade, guys. That's what this is all about. I mean, I don't want to see a young boy or a young girl again destroyed by a word when they already know that they can flip the script on that word and stick their chest out and revel in their blackness. The doctor is planting the seed. How about I'm a royal? I mean, what's wrong with us looking at this thing? You know what? That's how inbred and engraved the program is. The herd mentality has got us stuck on one word. One word. That's changing, that's stopping our upward mobility. We're feeding the system monetarily by reacting to a word when we can very easily flip the script move forward and stay focused on what? A master plan, which is going to the plantation and saving up enough money for me to truly enjoy the American dream, which is capitalism. Have my own business, make six figures, because you ain't going to make it on the plantation. Become self-defining and Machiavellian. We're caught up in so many distractions, and this is one of those distractions that's major. And the doctor wants us to, that's what we're doing. We've got two more shows to do on this. We got a show next week called Nigger Please. And then the last show is They Call Me a Wigger. So we'll have a series of four shows. Again, tell your friends about the KKMT Radio Network, the Dr. Rock. Go to www.brandnewnu.me. Listen to the shows. Go to the Blog Talk Radio show page. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/KKMT Radio. Download the shows. Listen to what the doctor is saying. Listen to what Professor K and I have spent a lifetime in the process on this journey just to bring this information to you, these truths. Because I guarantee you, the doctor is like the X-Man. I sit on national TV and debate this with PhDs, and it can't be denied. Well, Ted, what's going on over there at Morgan State?
Say it again?
No, I'll start at 410. Maybe she's gone already. Morgan State is a very, prominent African-American HBCU. You know, we have to turn our HBCUs into some Harvards and some Yales. We got too much work to do to be trivializing a word.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
That's part of the distraction, because every time you hear this word used, it makes news.
It demands a reaction.
I want you to become
composed and unflappable.
But you know part of the problem with that is?
Go ahead.
First of all, it's not telling us anything new. That's the first thing. Second of all, when it does make this news, like I said, that's another distraction. It's not giving or taking anything. Now, I feel the people when they say, well, it's taking away my dignity. Well, are you allowing it to take away your dignity? Because that's what we're trying to dash right now.
It can't take away your dignity. That's like that word, self-esteem. I think also a little short comedian with the perm.
Cat Williams. Yeah.
Yeah, Cat Williams. Yeah, he said, you know, the definition of the word self-esteem, why do you think they call it self? Can't nobody take that away from you. If you know who you are, that is your esteem. That is the way you feel about yourself. Nobody can take that away from you. Let's go to 954-744. Let's get some nappy heads on the phone here. Let's get them locked up. I'm talking about locked up with that consciousness, the blackness. But she's very gentle with it. I know she's probably working, so I'm going to do the same thing I did for my bestest of friends, Miss Faye. I'm going to take my time by bringing her to the phone, and hopefully she'll hear me. 954-744. How about I'm a royal nigga. How about we put the script on that word?
I am working, and so
I appreciate you chiming in, though. I really do.
Just
spend a little knowledge with us right quick. Were you able to hear the three alternate definitions that we came up with?
No.
Okay, the first one was, I'm a royal nigga from the Kenyatta clan from which the very beginning began. Number two could be, I am a nigga from the country of Niger. And just add a G, just like I'm a Houstonian from Houston. And, of course, number three was the acronym of the word nigga, National Institute of the God-Given Ebony Race. Why can't we adhere and codify that definition as opposed to, you know, where we are with this negative thing? Do we want to harbor in the negative?
No. I mean,
it seems like it.
It would be good to do that, but I think the negative comes from a lot of emotional experiences that people have been through associated with the word, and so that makes it hard.
Right.
But not impossible.
Go ahead.
Not impossible.
If you take that, let me say this. If you take that journey and you can go to the library and you can pick up Ivan Van Sertima, you can pick up Dr. Yosef Benyakinon's work, Sheikh Anta Diop, Dr.
Yes.
George James, J.A. Rogers, and I can go on and on until the break of dawn, and they will enlighten you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, save up some money and then take that journey back to Gori Island in the country of Ghana. Gori Island was where they actually held the slaves before they were shipped over. You walk in there, you can feel the ancestors speaking to you. You can feel the pain. And African conscious individuals always say, in your weakest time, call upon your ancestors because they're there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Call upon them. The knowledge of self is the key to this whole thing, guys. Go ahead, 954. What I'm asking you is, can we as a people go ahead and flip the script on this word, adhere to the positive parts of it, and move on with our life and do great things like we're destined to do? You think we're able to do that?
Yeah, I think it's possible. Definitely.
Do you think it's possible?
That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
We're just planting seeds here.
Yeah, it's possible.
That's all we're doing is planting seeds. Somebody fed this knowledge to Dr. Rock. And I'm just feeding it. I'm using the airwaves to feed this knowledge to a people that are truly God's children. And if we are, you know, it's time to stand up.
True.
I mean, I don't know what we're waiting on, but it's time to stand up. 954, I appreciate you coming in. I know you're busy. You're doing a lot of work over there. Now, 954 is one of those New Yorkers that come down south and think they're better than us Southerners because they from up north and their life is fast and we go so slow down here. We go so slow. But you can sit on your porch in Houston, Texas, and don't worry about getting shot at. So we're cool with going slow, guys. But we still got love for you up in north. I mean, there are so many people up north that have this knowledge, and, you know, but they had the ability and they had the availability to acquire this knowledge without, again, fear of reprisal, as we didn't quite have that in the South. So, but again, I think 410 is back on the line. I wanted to ask 410 about something they do on that tri-state area, that DMV area. They got a little saying up there. It's called Each One, Teach One. 410, 493, Each One, Teach One. I'm not sure where that came from, but I've heard it ever since 1976. Each One, Teach One. Which is what we're doing, and which is what we're asking every individual that listens to this show tonight, tomorrow, next week, whoever downloads it, is to take some knowledge, get the knowledge, and share that knowledge with somebody else. But do you know exactly where that Each One, Teach One, that the concept or the cliche came from? Because it's very powerful.
The first time that I heard that was in the faith community, and it was
right.
And an outreach type of event that I was at in a community, and it was about engaging young people and kind of helping with the concept of, like, mentoring.
Right.
Yeah, setting the example and having someone be impressed or influenced by the knowledge that you have.
Yeah.
It speaks very clearly to the passage in the Bible that talks about the elders and how they're to take the young people and, you know, the young women under their wing or men under their wing and teach them so that they impart their knowledge and wisdom to the next generation.
Yeah.
It's a universal perspective. It may have that particular saying may be something that you just heard or, you know, you may have derived from something back in the 70s, but ultimately it's a lifestyle. It's something that has been imposed upon us as people who have been called to, as you know, to a higher place, and we have a responsibility to impart the wisdom that we've gleaned from our life and pass it on to a generation that they may be better than we are ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And when we pass this knowledge on, we can't keep buying our kids and saying, well, I want my kids to have better than I have. We have to give them some substance. And this is the type of knowledge that builds backbones. This is the type of knowledge that's ancestral. This is legacy knowledge that creates continuity in family units. It helps us understand beyond the social dynamics of a Eurocentric mentality. We have to get there, guys. We're not provoking or hate anybody. We're just saying love the shit out of yourself. But you got to know who you are first. And then once you know, spread the knowledge. Each one teach one. Give it. Knowledge that the stagnant is that, I think they use the word nigger. They said nigger is somebody who's got the knowledge and scared to assimilate it and spread it and give it to other people. You know, I mean, that could be because that's a negative term. How about that Negro, that nigga be positive and affirmed and royal and dedicated and all those positive words and spread that knowledge and provide that information to other people with the books, with the consciousness, with that divine inspiration that comes from God. We can do this, guys. We can do this. And the doctor's not going to be on the major channels. You know, the advent of the internet, and we want to say a happy and a fearless warrior, Mr. Steve Jobs, on his transition. We want to say you left a legacy, sir, and we appreciate you. And we want to use these airwaves for positive things and not just dropping it like it's hot. We can have some fun, but there's a time for everything, guys. And this is the time, this is nation-building time. Marcus Garvey used to say that. The X-Men said it. It's time to build some nations, man. We got work to do. And we can't be, you know, stopped by this little trivial word. Is it a pronoun or is it an adjective? Either way, I define it. Because I define me. Go ahead.
I would say whatever the part of speech is, pronoun, adjective, whatever, we need to try to make it a non-factor.
Most indubitably. You know, we have to become Machiavellian. We have to become the architects of our own destiny and quit getting manipulated by a bottle of wine, an 8-ounce bottle of beer, a 16-ounce bottle, a quarter beer, a crack rock, my baby mama, sex, AIDS, so many distractions, a bucket of chicken. Go inside of yourself. Connect with the ancestors deep inside of yourself, that ethos that Professor K said. We're going to use the word symbiotic. There is a symbiotic, unconscious connection that lies deep within your spirit and your soul, that if you divinely humble yourself to the Creator, He will enlighten you and connect you with that. That's where you are going to find the essence of God and of self. And then you'll realize that you too are what? You're a royal nigga from the Kenyatta clan from which the very beginning began. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Shem Hotep. Dr. Rock bidding you, Shemotep.